Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, don't forget to call in.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellamy, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr. Love.
Okay, welcome to the Love Lift Us Up Show. This is truly your number one home-based station in Bellamy, Texas, where Jesus shines with love. I'm your host today, Dr. Love. Today I have a treat for you, but first, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We come to you in the spirit of thankfulness, Heavenly Father, thanking you for blessing us to lie down last night and wake up this morning, Lord. Thanking you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. Thanking you, Lord, just for the word going forth, just for the gifts, all the gifts that you give to the people, Lord, and just being who you are, God, constant and not changing. Lord, we're asking that this broadcast be something that you would be pleased with, Heavenly Father, and that someone will be helped somewhere, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All right, today's scripture is Isaiah 40 and 31, which reads, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And I heard one psalmist say, teach me, Lord, how to wait. And when I look at Isaiah 40 and 31, I tend to think about the book of Job. And if we can recall, Job was a blessed man. He was a righteous man. But Satan began to challenge Job's integrity, suggesting that Job only serves God because God protects him. So guess what? God removes his protection from Job and allows Satan to do the unthinkable. He allows Satan to take all of Job's wealth, to even take his children, and to take Job's physical health, but not kill him. And in looking at this, we find that at the end, Job remained faithful unto the Lord, although he was going through those different storms. And we find that Jesus showed compassion, and he made Job better than what he was before. He helped him. So therefore, we have to understand and recognize that Job is kind of like us sometimes. And so we have to be able to trust God and believe in God and do what God has asked us to do. Okay. Now, the moment you all have been waiting for, I'm going to have a special guest today, and our special guest is Dr. Clarence Johnson, who is a graduate of Prairie View A&M University. He recently received his PhD from Prairie View in education leadership. He has served in education for 47 years as a teacher, coach, counselor, assistant principal, principal, and a director of safe and secure schools in Aldine ISD, which is very close to Houston. In addition to that, Dr. Johnson also had the 100 Wing Halls at one of the schools in the Houston area named after him. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Dr. Johnson to the Love Lift Us Up Show. Dr. Johnson, are you there?
Hello, Dr. Love.
Hello, how are you doing, Dr. Johnson?
Doing just fine.
Great. We're going to start off with your book, Roll Call. And your book is considered as a highly thought-provoking book, and it illustrates how students struggle in math and science. So within your research, what findings were directly related to the struggles that students experience in math and science?
We took a look at, when I did the research, went through the avenue of talking with the middle school counselors, interviewed the middle school counselors, and looked at the recommendations that the middle school counselor received from the feeder school. We looked at the feeder patterns, and I was tracking the enrollment of students in Algebra 1 at the middle school level. And that was my basis for my findings when I was doing my research.
Okay. And that's a great method to involve other individuals. That's excellent. Okay. Now, in the Houston area, you're considered one of the gurus or experts in student achievement in the areas that educators see a lot of students struggling in, as we said before, which is math and science. So how did you, as a teacher, when you was on the teacher level or even principal, how did you keep these students motivated and wanting to learn and be successful?
It will sound simple, but it's real simple. Two things, high expectations and a parent involved. And that is the real deal. We had high expectations for all of the students, and we had a direct line of communication with the parents. It doesn't matter if the parents were limited as far as telephones or during my time, it was a telephone before we went to the technology area now where it's much, much easier. But high expectations for all of the students. I'm talking about not a section of students, not a specific population, but 100% of the student body having high expectations for all the students, and be sure that we knew the parents that was involved directly with that parents. Doesn't necessarily mean the biological parents, but where their child stayed at night or who was responsible for that individual. Those two things will reap dividends. It's high expectations and having the parents involved.
Okay, and let me just ask you this one question, because it's very interesting, and I know you're expert at this. What is, like, one way that you guys actually obtained parental involvement? What did you do?
I implemented a policy called 231. The policy 231. The 231 was when I was principal during the 14 years. All of the teachers, it was mandated that all teachers had to make at least two positive comments during a 30-minute period of time, and to send one positive message home to parents every week. Every teacher had to find a student and send home a positive message. And by implementing policy 231, we had a direct buy-in from the parents when they received calls from my school, from the teachers at Carver High School. Now, this broke down the barrier that once you receive a telephone call from the school, you had that image that it was it's a bad call. But when we put in the policy 231, sending that positive message home, and it was a written message to the parents, and the teachers had to check off on that, it really, really change our program.
Okay, and that's a good policy, and that also builds relationships. Okay. Now, I see that in your book, Roll Call, you strategically place the term structured learning in your book. Now, can you kind of paint a brief picture to the listeners of what that would look like in a classroom?
Structured time, we must treat school and home as one learning environment. And that's a 7-week when school's in session. That's a 7-week period. What goes on at school? You must have. We had a seamless study period all the way from home to school. In other words, the homework was just the follow up as a continuation from school to home. And when you look at school and home as being in the same as one, you don't separate home from school. You keep them together as one learning environment. And this is in my book. But having a seamless study period, and I'm talking about 7 days a week. There's a schedule that breaks down the remediation time, all of the study time that follows up what goes on in school goes directly home. And the only way you can do that is you must have complete control of the parental involvement.
Great. And I like that schedule that you're talking about, and I want to look into that. Okay. Now, you've made a huge impact, as I said before, in the Houston area as far as student achievement and even leaving a legacy with the 100 Wing Hall at one school named after you. Can you give the listeners a brief synopsis of the 7 R's you research that would perform effective learning communities in the schools?
The basic 3, when we started out, was reading, writing, and arithmetic. Those were the basic R's. But when you take the school and you look at reading, writing, and arithmetic, you look at what goes on when you leave the school and go home. That's remediation, reteaching, recreation, and believe it or not, religion. You must include religion. The religion's part, that aspect of the learning community will take place in the home and in the community environment. I'm not saying what type of religion you must have, but in order to be successful, expand the 3 R's and it becomes the 7 R's, which is reading, writing, and arithmetic. You must have remediation. You must have reteaching. The student must have a form of recreation. And you must have a form of religion. And when you tie the home and school together as one learning environment, then all 7 R's will impact the student.
Great. Okay. And that's good. Religion is very important. Okay. Now, I see a key element in your book in which the education is always performing, or the educator is always performing, a checks and balances. Can you tell us a little bit about how that would look? I know you said reteaching, but what else would the teacher be doing in the classroom?
Each teacher must know what grade level the student is performing. It doesn't matter. At the beginning of class, at the beginning of each class, and this is what is significant, at or above grade level. And you do that by doing research, going to the student records, making sure that each student is familiar with what grade level the student is performing at, if it's in math or if it's in science, whatever area it is. We find that once you find out where your student is performing, you set goals to move that student. It doesn't matter what grade level that student shows up in your class when he or she is enrolled in your class, but you want to move that student from September to May, whatever grade level that student was at in your class at the beginning. The goal mm-hmm. is to have that student at least 1.5 grade level at the end of the school year. And when you do that as a classroom teacher, doesn't matter what the critics say, you have done your job.
Great. Okay. That's good advice there. And speaking of advice, what advice would you give a new educator or a principal, or even a veteran educator or principal, who have students struggling in the areas of math and science?
Goes back to the grade level. Goes back to the grade level. Find out. The first thing that a new principal, well, you must develop a line of communication with all parents, and no excuses. No.
Right.
No excuses. You must. There has to be a mean of communication with the teacher and the parent. And once you do that, then you establish where the student is, then you set goals. Those goals that you set in the classroom, if that student is achieving, for instance, if you have a 7th grader that's achieving at a 6th grade level, it is to be noted at school and at home on where that student needs to be at the end of the school year. But the first thing that you really need to do is develop a line of communication with all parents. That's the key indicator for any new educators.
Okay. Thank you for that. Okay, now, your book is highly sought after by a lot of educator superintendents, and I've been reading it, and it's an excellent book. Now, tell me, what do you want us to glean from this book?
There's a plan in there for community involvement, how to organize a community, put a chapter on organizing a community. I also looked at the 7 hours. But there is a schedule. There is a 24-hour schedule that I would like for the parents to take a look at. As a community, we don't need to look at the child as being a Monday through Friday school only. That's unacceptable. We need to look at the 7-day schedule, and I have a 7-day schedule, 24-hour, which includes meal time, travel time, sleep time, and with the target group, the 11, 12, 13-year-old, the middle schoolers, it has at least a minimum 8 hours. Some critics say, some research say 9 hours, but I'm saying a minimum of 8 hours. So you need to look at that schedule. I have that schedule that works, one that we must look at a student schedule for a 7-day period, not a 5-day period. We just don't need to turn the students loose on Friday night, Saturdays, and Sunday. No. Develop a daily schedule for the children. That's critical. Daily, seven days. Know, and one thing is know the grade level of the student performance. That's in my book. That's critical.
Right, and that's good. And right. I believe in structure in home and at school because, like you said, it's a cohesive unit, and that makes the whole child. That's good points, Dr. Johnson. Tell us about your future plans in writing books and your availability to do workshops. Do you see that? See yourself doing that?
After I spent 47 years in education, and when I looked at the critics and what people said about me and what was said during my exit, during my doctoral, when I received my PhD, that I made a commitment to my 5 committed chairpersons that I would share this with people across America about the success that I had. And I looked at publishing 3 books, and the first one, Roll Call 2012, that's out, and my second book was published on April the 16th. And
congratulations.
That is one that's on security. Yeah, April the 16th, that's my second book is out. Yes, my second book, Protecting American Students at School. Now, that deals with my last 11 years of security when I was the Safe and Secure School Director. And because of that tragedy in Connecticut, I was in the process. I was about 70% complete on my second book. So I finished that. And on the third book, I'm targeting the dropout rate, how to improve the dropout rate, because I had success with the dropout rate when I was a high school principal. And here's a campus where the dropout rate was as high at one point at 29.5%. And when I left there and was promoted to central office, we had moved the dropout rate because of my policy 231 to 0%. I had a high school in the greater Houston area who had a 0 dropout rate. So when I finish my third book, I want to have one that deals with the math and science, one that deals with security, and that's out there now. And my third book, the one that deals with dropout. So once I finish the one that deals with dropout, then I will be able to go anywhere across the country and conduct workshop in dealing with those three main areas that I had success in when I was an educator for 47 years. Spending the 10 years in the classroom and being a mathematics teacher, being a high school principal for 14 years and being a security director for a school district with over 60,000 students, we were very successful. And I'm sharing all of those ideas and all of those things that we did as a school district that I did with people. And I don't want to leave this planet without sharing those good things with the people in America.
Right. And Dr. Johnson, I'm just in admiration with those three books that you just labeled or named off, especially with the safety and security. That's very important, you know, because all schools need that because we practice, you know, safe and secure drills. And so we have to, our first priority is making sure that our students are safe. So I really admire you for that book. Okay. Next question is, how can listeners contact you with other questions or purchase your book?
My publisher, Arthur House. Arthur House is my publisher. We have a web page, Facebook page. I also have my own web page where you can order my book. It's real easy. CJNewBook.com. That's CJNEWBOOK.com. You can go to my website there. You can see the small print about the author and how to order my book, or you can go online at Arthur House or go to Amazon. It's online. Or if you have a question you want to ask, you can find it on my Facebook page. I have a Facebook page with you can email me any question that you have and to my Facebook page, and then I will be more than happy to answer any questions that you have, or if you would like for me to travel and visit with you at any location, I'm available to do that on a limited basis right now because I'm in the midst of writing my third book. I want to go ahead and get through with my third book, but go to cjnewbook.com if you want to order my new book, or go to my Facebook page and ask any questions. Or if you want to email me, I have an email at my Facebook page. It's cjohnson410, that's at global.net. Okay?
Okay. All right. Well, Dr. Johnson, I appreciate you taking out the time to interview on the Love Lift Us Up show where Jesus shines with love. And we are going to be sure to check out your book, Roll Call, because there's a lot of important information for parents, community leaders, educators alike. So I want to thank you for taking out your time today.
You're welcome.
And I want to thank you. And I want to thank all of my listeners and future listeners, and I want you all to know that you can share this broadcast by word of mouth or the link that's placed on my website on Facebook under Afreda Love. That's AlFredaLove or FredaLove. Our next show, we'll have a surprise show. And remember, you're listening to the number one home show, Triple R, founded on Recognize, Reverence, and Relinquish. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. And once again, Dr. Johnson, I appreciate you so much.
Thank you for the honor.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Have a blessed day now.
You too, Dr. Johnson.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. This concludes the Love Lift Us Up show with Dr. Love. Thank you.